I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now we bring in our Milwaukee postgame Probe Hoops basketball show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the host, joining us now. He's live in studio back at the studios in Hales Corner. Spark, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Bucks aren't canceled. We're good. We got postgame tonight.
Right?
We're rolling. Tim Allen will be sitting at home, but I'll be working tonight doing postgame after Bucks Celtics.
So I'm sure you watched last night, right?
Watched the second half of the Pelicans game and then watched most of the Laker-Clipper game.
Yeah, I had it on sitting out here last evening. And you know what? I said this about basketball the same way I said it when I watched golf and NASCAR. It wasn't like I was just intrigued and I had to watch it. It was just, it was finally back on. So I became enveloped in it just because. But it was good to see it back on. The NBA has done it right in that bubble, in the way they're doing things right now. Don't you agree?
They've done everything right. I mean, just across the board. It's hard to poke at the NBA and say they've done something wrong here in the last two or three months. Everything they've done has been right. The NHL has the regional bubble. It's taken everybody to Canada to this point. That looks like that is the correct way
right. To
do things, too. And here we see with Major League Baseball and the NFL. And the NFL, my goodness. I mean, they've got to be looking at this going, what are we about to get ourselves into here? Because from their perspective, yes, thankfully, you know, the NFL doesn't play games every day. So you have that week dead time to quarantine players or do whatever you have to do in between games and so forth. But they didn't change their schedule. So you're still got teams flying across the country and being in these other cities. At least baseball try to keep it regional from that perspective. Obviously, that was still too much. But you've got the East pretty much wiped out in the NL now for the most part. And now you're going to have the Central pretty much wiped out more than likely. Because if the report is correct, which I believe it is, that these test results they got back today were from freaking Wednesday? It took them from Wednesday till today to get the test results. That means that the test results that they're taking today, they're not going to get until Sunday. So obviously you're going to play Saturday because you're not going to have any new test results, I guess, tomorrow because it was an off day Thursday. So maybe they didn't test them. And then you have Sam Decker on Twitter earlier today saying that, why are Cardinal players out golfing at Whistling Straits for yesterday?
Right.
What is that all about? Because, again, in the NBA, you know, you're all kind of quarantined. Well, MLB has no rules, none whatsoever. So if you want to go out and golf, if you want to go do whatever, you can. There are no rules put in place for these players at all other than to, you know, be cautious and take care of yourself.
I know Major League Baseball players have to do something because when they're on a 10-game road trip, you can't just sit in your room the entire time. But I agree with you. I can't believe they're out golfing. I'm not saying Whistling Straits is a hotbed for COVID, but I can't believe they're out golfing.
But that's not only it. So if the report's true, that the report out is alleging that it's two pitchers possibly. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say it's two pitchers that happen to play golf at Whistling Straits. Now, you don't have to release the name of the players. I understand that. I get it. But as a courtesy, somebody in that Cardinals organization, if they were the ones that were out there Whistling Straits playing, they better call Whistling Straits and let them know that, hey,
right. We
had two guys out there golfing yesterday, and they're the ones that tested positive for COVID, because now we're talking about all the workers at Whistling Straits, all the people that may have interacted with these guys at Whistling Straits as well. Again, the chain effect of all of this is crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it. I guess the best way John Heyman put it was, you're talking 22-year-old guys that believe they're invincible when it comes to COVID anyway, so it's hard to keep them in. At least the NBA did it to where they said, look, you leave, you're quarantined. We're going to take the choice out of your hands, basically. And that's where I appreciate what Adam Silver was able to do. Now we move on and to what's going on inside the bubble. Bucks back at it tonight. How much do you think the Bucks, if at all, against the Celtics, are going to miss Drew Bledsoe and Pat Connaughton? Probably Bledsoe more.
I think they'll definitely miss him. I think Bledsoe definitely hurts them from a defensive standpoint and from an offensive standpoint. But at the end of the day, how much do wins and losses really mean to this organization at this point for the next eight games? I think they're looking at this as just, you know, generally getting guys back into the flow of things, feeling the intensity of the games again, trying to stretch minutes a little bit so they're ready to go into the postseason and ready to play. That Laker-Clipper game last night, that game had the intensity and the feel of a playoff game almost. That's what it felt like. Now, again, there was no fans or anything like that per se in the stands. You had the virtual fans, but you didn't have the actual fans there making noise. So I don't know if you get that type of intensity tonight between the Bucks and the Celtics like you did Clippers-Lakers last night. I don't know if you'll get that type of intensity in any Bucks regular season game the rest of the way out. I'll tell you this much. I don't want Giannis playing 32, 33 minutes in a game. He only averaged 30 minutes during the regular season, which is the fewest he's averaged since his rookie season. I don't want to see Giannis more than 25 minutes a game in this thing. There's no reason to put him out there because, again, this is kind of meaningless basketball for the Bucks. Their seeding is pretty much locked up. They're done. They're the one. So from that perspective, they're just kind of going through the motions and waiting for it to count in the postseason.
I know they don't really care about the wins and losses. I think to me it's not so much about the winning and the losing. It's more about the continuity. I know that Bledsoe had said that when he got finally down to the bubble, it was the first time he'd really exercised in a while. So what do you expect out of him as we effort towards the postseason? Because everybody's eyes are upon him because everybody's expecting him to have a good postseason beginning to end.
Yeah, well, I mean, once he's cleared to play, and Budenholzer said he wants to give him some more 5-on-5 work and practice and so forth and get his legs under him and then let him play, I think Bledsoe could be the X factor in the postseason. I really do, and I've said it on multiple shows now, and I'll say it here too. I just think if you look at Eric Bledsoe, when he's out there with Middleton and Giannis, there are games where he kind of falls into the shadow of both of those guys and isn't that aggressive. He'll get 2.5 shots, and you just scratch your head like, well, dude, what are you doing? You're as important as these guys. You need to be aggressive on the offensive side of the floor as well as you are on the defensive side of the floor. So if Bledsoe can find that aggressive nature and be there consistently night in, night out, getting his, you know, 12 shots a game or whatever the case may be, that's big for the Bucks. If Eric Bledsoe isn't that guy and has games where he gets 4 or 5 shots, that's bad for the Bucks. I don't know if you can win an NBA title if Bledsoe's not on his game offensively.
Spark, always good stuff. Look forward to coming up tonight with the Pro Hoops postgame show. Should be a lot of fun. Thank God we're talking basketball again.
And I will be broadcasting from the studio. I will not be on somebody's tiki bar deck because that would be too... Bill, I'm just saying that'd be too tempting for me to drink something while doing the show. And
you know, you can always come over. You can have the whole tiki bar area to yourself, man. I'll leave the half the rack of ribs on the smoker.
I have to think about that, maybe.
Yeah, let me know, man.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Bring the family and the kids. Yeah. Go sit by the fire pit or something. Sure, and you know it works because I've got it all hooked up out back now.
Yeah.
So we're all good.
Yeah.
This is great.
So. Sounds good.
All right. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host from the Pro Hoops postgame show on our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 1250 AM as well. Joining us in studio, but the Schneider Orange Hotline always up and running. Schneider, call them right now, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.